It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Charles Payne.
I'm Kat Timpf.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Monday, October 31st, 2022, I'm Mike Emanuel. Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney is leading the Democrats' campaign committee in the House, trying to hold on to the majority. But Maloney is also facing a threat closer to home. Republican challenger Mike Lawler argues one-party rule in Washington and New York is failing the people of New York's 17th congressional district, and it's time for change.
This will be a monumental blow to Democrats in Washington and the Biden agenda.
I'm Dave Anthony. It's a divided time in America, but Brian Kilmeade, who wrote a book about the Civil War era, tells us,
I know there are pockets of strife and conflict. I get it over politics. But for the most part, we're fighting it out through the ballot box.
And I'm Jimmy Failla. I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
With just more than a week to go before Election Day, it's a sprint to the finish. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy is hoping he'll be the next speaker of the House.
It's going to be competitive. No one gives you a majority. You have to earn it. And that's what we're out doing, earning it for the rest of the American people to make sure that we put America back on a new track.
Former President Trump told Fox's Brian Kilmeade he expects voters to go Republican.
About 6 months ago, it felt phenomenal. Then it got a little bit muddied up. Now I think we're going to do very well. I actually think we're going to do very well.
In traditional blue state New York, Republican nominee for governor Lee Zeldin says concerns over inflation and crime are prompting many Democrats to vote red.
And every single day, people tell me, Lee, I'm a Democrat, I've always voted Democrat, but this year, I'm voting for you. It's the first time I ever voted for a Republican in my life.
The lawmaker charged with helping Democrats keep the majority in the House of Representatives, leading the Democrats' campaign committee, is also a New Yorker, Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, who appeared on CBS's Face the Nation.
Don't punish the people who are fixing your problems. And don't reward the people who are trying to exploit the problems for their own political power. That's really the difference right now. We're engaged in the hard work of bringing our country forward. The other side's working on their own power.
But the Democrats' majority and even Maloney's congressional seat in New York could be in serious jeopardy. In fact, the race for New York's 17th congressional district is attracting national attention and a huge flow of campaign cash.
For the first time in our nation's history, Democrats control everything in Washington, Albany, and New York City all at once, and they've created a mess.
Mike Lawler is the Republican nominee challenging Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney.
A 41-year record high on inflation, a surge in crime in the city and across the state, a skyrocketing energy prices, a porous southern border, where not only a massive inflow of illegal immigration, but drugs coming into our communities, killing 300 Americans a day. Over 100,000 Americans died last year alone, and they're doing nothing about it. You know, you focus on issues like education. Parents are being called domestic terrorists for walking into a school board meeting and asking questions. Meanwhile, in a state like New York, real domestic terrorists are paroled and put back out on the streets. So, you know, I think voters are fed up. They want balance and common sense restored to every level of government. And unfortunately, one-party rule has failed us. And so we are surging in the polls. My latest polling has me up 6 points. Sean Patrick Maloney has voted 100% of the time with Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden. And as chair of the DCCC, he's been gallivanting across the globe, raising money to keep Pelosi in power and not really focused on the district. You know, with a redistricting year like this, 75% of the district is new to him. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have the built-in advantages of incumbency that a, you know, incumbent congressman would normally have. And so as voters get to know both of us, you know, I think they're siding with me by a significant margin.
You mentioned the incumbent congressman, Democrat Sean Patrick Maloney, who's represented districts around the Hudson Valley for about a decade, the race has gotten really tight with the Cook Political Report considering it a toss-up as of October 25th. Do you think Sean Patrick Maloney is just out of touch with people in that part of New York?
Totally. You know, when he came in a decade ago, you know, he ran as a moderate and a centrist. And since that time, he has shifted quite dramatically. You know, he called cashless bail his top priority when he ran for attorney general 4 years ago in his failed campaign. He has voted for every inflationary policy that Biden and Pelosi have put forward, including the Inflation Expansion Act, which is what it should have been named. It has done nothing to curb inflation, has done nothing to positively impact GDP. And in fact, it raised taxes on middle class families in the Hudson Valley and created 87,000 new IRS agents to go after those hardworking middle class families. So he is not by any stretch of the imagination mainstream. And as chair of the DCCC, you know, in one of the most partisan jobs in Washington, he has exceeded expectations in his level of partisanship. I mean, going so far as to interfere in Republican primaries and try and, you know, cynically select who the general election opponent might be for the Democrat. And it's wrong.
You mentioned he is the chair of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. So he risks potentially losing the majority for Democrats on election night and could lose his own seat. How big of a blow do you think that would be?
Oh, listen, it would be massive. And I think, you know, we are going to be the face of the red wave on November 8th. But Republicans have not defeated a sitting DCCC chair in over 40 years. And we're not going to defeat Nancy Pelosi. But we will defeat Sean Maloney and with it end Nancy Pelosi's reign as Speaker of the House. And so this will be a monumental blow to Democrats in Washington and the Biden agenda.
In one of his ads, Maloney refers to you as MAGA Mike Lawler, claiming you possess extreme views associated with the GOP. What's your response to that allegation?
Well, it's just a sign of desperation. I mean, anybody who's talked to me for 5 seconds recognizes that I'm not extreme in the least. And, you know, my objective is to serve the people of my community and focus in on the issues that matter. And that's inflation and crime and our poor southern border and energy prices and education and ensuring parents have a say in their child's education. If he views that as extreme, then I'd love to know what he views as mainstream. The reality here is the only extremist in this race is Sean Maloney. And voters are seeing it. And they're seeing that he really has nothing positive to talk about. He can't defend his record. And so he's spent the entirety of the campaign lying about mine, smearing my reputation, all in the hope that it'll save him. And it's not going to work.
Obviously, New York being a blue state, you're going to have a lot of Democrats in that district should you win. Your thoughts on perhaps being able to work across the aisle at times, maybe on some hopefully common sense issues?
Well, listen, I have a record of doing it. You know, in the state legislature, I have among the most bipartisan voting records in Albany. I've voted with the Democratic Speaker Carl Hastie 81% of the time. I've voted with my Republican leader 91% of the time. So when I agree with my party, I say it. And when I don't, I say it as well. And I'm willing to work across the aisle to get things done because that's the only way you actually get lasting change. You know, I represent a 2-to-1 Democratic district in the state assembly. This congressional district that I'm running for has 70,000 more Democrats than Republicans. Joe Biden won the district by 10 points. You don't win a seat like this and be able to govern without being willing to work across the aisle, without being willing to reach out to voters of all political parties, including Democrats. And that's what I've done as a member of the state assembly. It's what I've done as a candidate, and it's what I will do as a member of Congress.
House Republican Conference Chair Elise Stefanik of the great state of New York sounds very bullish that a number of New York districts could flip from Democrat to Republican. Your thoughts on that analysis? Have you been paying attention to some of the other districts out there?
Well, listen, a decade ago, I served as executive director of the state Republican Party. And, you know, in 2010, we had the most gains of any state in terms of Republican pickups. And we are, you know, on a trajectory here to be right at the top in terms of the number of flips. And I believe, you know, with the Republicans only needing to pick up five seats, we may very well deliver that out of New York. And the Democrats have nobody to blame but themselves, and specifically Sean Maloney, because back in January of this year, as chair of the DCCC, he sent a memo to state Democrats demanding that they gerrymander New York's maps and basically, you know, eliminate Republican representation. Well, they did it. And then the courts intervened and threw out the map, declared it was unconstitutional and gerrymandered, and appointed a special master to create a new map. And the new map is fair and competitive. And it's why so many seats in New York are in play, and why Democrats are scrambling in the final few weeks here to try and salvage, you know, the majority, but more so try to save seats in New York. And it's not going to work because voters in New York have seen the impact of one party rule, and they've seen the policies that have created the situation that we're in, and they're experiencing it firsthand, and frankly, maybe on a greater level because of the policies coming out of Albany and New York City, compounding what's happening in Washington.
You only have a few more days out on the campaign trail until Election Day. Obviously, this is crunch time, critical time in the campaign. How do you plan on spending your time?
Well, listen, it's the same way I've been spending it every day since I announced at the end of May. I'm doing 6, 7, 8 events a day, crisscrossing the district, making the case that we need change. We need to restore balance and common sense. We had a great rally over the weekend with Congressman Lee Zeldin, our Republican candidate for governor in Rockland County. We had about 500 folks in attendance. Glenn Youngkin is coming in, the governor of Virginia. Voters are enthused. They're coming out. Early voting started over the weekend, and people are excited. And, you know, it doesn't matter what community I go into, whether it's the Latino community, the Orthodox community, the Haitian community, the Irish community, no matter where I go, people are fired up. And these are people who, you know, in many cases have voted Democrat for years, and they're tired of it. I think you are going to see a seismic red wave coming out of New York on Election Day. And it's going to be a coalition of voters from across political parties. And people are going to send a message loud and clear that they want change, and they're going to deliver it on November 8th.
Mike Lawler, Republican candidate for Congress in the great state of New York. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll be following it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen and download the Fox News Hourly Update on your time. The trending stories you need anytime you want it. Listen and download now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
This is Jimmy Failla with your Fox News commentary coming up.
What side are you on? The left or the right? That's a question Americans are deciding in this election in a very divided time.
Extreme MAGA Republicans don't just threaten our personal rights and our economic security. They embrace political violence.
That was President Biden in September saying those Republicans put our democracy at risk, prompting GOP Senator John Kennedy to tell Fox,
they're going to get pretty tired pretty quickly having the President of the United States of America call them racist and misogynistic and ignorant and un-American and fascist because they disagree.
But as divided as we are now, Brian Kilmeade says it has been much worse.
What I try to do, take the most divisive thing possible in America, the Civil War, racial unrest, racial relations, and talk about two people that brought us further than any other two people, in my view.
The Fox and Friends co-host has a new paperback version out of his book, The President and the Freedom Fighter.
Frederick Douglass, born a slave, escapes to freedom. He was able to have other abolitionists buy his freedom once he was a fugitive to make sure he wasn't rearrested. And then you have Abraham Lincoln, born in poverty. His dad said, you better not learn to read. It's a waste of time. 1 year of formal schooling, probably becomes a self-taught lawyer, politician and the right president at the right time.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say the right president at the right time. Right now, we have such anger at the current president, people on the right, right after President Trump was hated by the left. I mean, we have a very divisive time of our own that we're dealing with here. What can we look back to for history for someone like Lincoln dealing with that? Well, he had a war, which is different.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I kind of urge people to get a perspective on what we're going through right now. These are words, and I know sometimes words end up in violence. That's the story of a bar fight. Something's going to happen tonight where words will escalate into violence. It doesn't mean the country's falling apart. I know there are pockets of strife and conflict. I get it, over politics. But for the most part, we're fighting it out through the ballot box. Polarization is now in. I think compromise will be in, because I think the average person who is not trying to get somebody elected or her elected understands in life you got to compromise. That house you bought, you compromise. That car you bought, you compromise. The school that you applied to, maybe you couldn't go to it because it's too expensive. You compromise. In life, you try to get the most you can with the leverage you have. And I think that I believe that compromise will be in vogue if led by the right people and expressed the right way.
That's going to be hard, though. Look at Senator Joe Manchin. He was very much involved in compromise in the last year or so, right? He was able to scuttle what President Biden and the Democrats wanted to do with his Build Back Better agenda. He got it lower. Republicans were very happy with that. But then he made a deal with the president on a smaller version, and Republicans were angry at Senator Manchin, and they said he turned on them. So it's not easy to be the person who actually does the compromise.
True, and I think it's a very relevant point to what I'm saying. However, can you imagine if it came from the top instead of one of 100 senators?
Right.
At the risk of not getting four more years, I remember Eisenhower was asked about reelection. He said, well, I'm going to do my job. If people don't want me here, I'll lose.
Even if Republicans are to win control of the House, which people expect, and let's say they win control of the Senate, then you still have a very divided Washington.
True. And one way to get it done is a deal. And one thing you do a deal is, do you want that secretary confirmed? Well, we're going to need something like this signed. Mm-hmm. You know, you just did a CHIPS deal. You did a police deal,
mm-hmm.
On gun reform.
Oh, right.
CHIP reform. CHIP was
the CHIPS Act and then the gun, right, and the gun bill. Right.
So you have all this. So you had 15 Republican senators in there. I think there's a lot. There's Cassidy's of the world. I guess Portman's going to be leaving soon.
Mm-hmm.
Others out there, even John Cornyn was the one conservative who led the Republican senatorial conference. He was the one who led on the gun reform.
Took a lot of heat for that, though, from people on the right who were angry at him.
But you think about how thrilled they must be now on some level behind closed doors, because guns are now off the table for Republicans to have to deal with.
So it's going to be very difficult still to break out of the division we have. I mean, right. Elon Musk has taken over Twitter. You probably saw what he said. He wants to have a town hall where people can have a common way of speaking without being violent. But he talks about social media and the potential to divide us more with even more hate. And do you think that's possible, that we could go even further down this path?
Well, I mean, the negative side is there could be negative things on social media, but the other negative side is what's not there, what is being repressed through algorithms, what political point of view is being outside violence. I'm more for the Wild West version of social media as opposed to the restricted version of social media, because I don't know anybody who thinks that Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Google is not in the tank for the Democratic Party. I don't even think they push back on that. So it makes people distrustful and angry as they try to move to Truth Social or others. I think Elon Musk going in there, he's not really a Republican. Just ask Donald Trump. They're fighting right now. He's not really a Republican, and he's not really a Democrat, because Democrats don't even invite him to these green events. So I think it might be interesting in there to reveal some algorithms that might be repressing certain points of view. But I do think there's got to be regulation. The next time the Proud Boys go out and say something irresponsible, that should be taken down. But the lifetime ban, when you took down the President of the United States and you just said he doesn't exist anymore, other world leaders, they were critics of President Trump, said, whoa, what the hell are you doing? Can you actually do that?
Speaking of the former president, he was on Brian Kilmeade's radio show 10 days ago.
Look at our country. Our country is a failed country. We're,
gotcha.
We're really a nation in decline.
And as the midterm elections loom, Brian asked Donald Trump,
Will the results of this election and the people you endorsed influence whether you run or not in 2024?
Yes and no. Look, if we did badly, I'm not sure that that wouldn't make it even more imperative to run, because I've done very well. Look, I won the first election by I won the second election by a lot. A lot.
Now, the former president's stolen and rigged 2020 election claims have led to even more Trump investigations, which Brian did not talk to him about.
I don't really want to talk about the lawsuits. Yeah. Because number one, people's eyes glaze over, and either they think he's being attacked or they think he's getting away with murder. So the one in New York, Georgia, January 6th, Mar-a-Lago. I mean, which one do you want to pick?
I mean, the guy's a lightning rod. I mean, it's amazing how many people have been going after him over and over again.
And then who would run if he runs and get any traction? Youngkin, because he doesn't owe his success to Trump.
DeSantis?
DeSantis, I think he's going to announce, I think it's going to be announced like around January. I think he's in. But if you divide Trump world, then you take 40% and divide it in half. And let's say DeSantis gets a third, because two-thirds will probably say he gave him his big break, and he did. I mean, Donald Trump doesn't go to bat for Ron DeSantis. He doesn't win the Republican nomination. And his performance is so great, he looks like an ideal presidential candidate. But I think there's clearly bad blood between them already.
Right. But Donald Trump always likes a fight, right? And DeSantis would be, for him, it would give him energy, wouldn't it? He likes to battle, and of course he likes to win. But does Governor DeSantis, is he ready to be labeled something, whether Little Marco or whatever? He'll have a name for him.
He will. The question is, does Donald Trump have a second act? Because he had it the first time, shocked everyone when Jeb Bush was supposed to win it. But this time, everyone's ready for it. And the problem is, if you're going to attack Nikki Haley if she gets in, if you're going to attack Mike Pompeo if he gets in, if you're going to attack Mike Pence if he comes in, Kristi Noem if she gets in, if you're going to attack them, you're on the record praising them. What happened? They decided to run. I mean, I imagine Mike Pompeo's probably got a montage of compliments he got from Donald Trump.
Sure.
Because he thought he was the best CIA director and best Secretary of State.
But he's just disloyal for running against him. That's what he told us. Right, that's right. So that's what he thinks, right? He may be a good guy, but he's being disloyal.
Yes. Republicans have a problem. If Trump runs, he changes everything. And if Democrats can't run anyone, I don't know anyone, I think they're going to roll out a celebrity. High profile. Yeah. Even though he says he doesn't want to run, somebody
Michelle
they can
Obama?
Rally, because they have what they think is issues, but they don't have the headliner.
People do. I mean, it seems like a lot of people just don't want either one, Trump or Biden, for 24. Who then steps into the void? Does somebody like Michelle Obama has said she doesn't want to be the
ever? Right. She says that, but
people,
I mean,
people have always changed their mind. Or,
yeah. But one thing about it, she dismisses it immediately, almost every day. So let's say she does get in, it would be different. But the problem with Michelle Obama, if you're Michelle Obama, no one ever looked at her record. They say, isn't she a great first lady and a wonderful representation of the country, and she's strong and she's smart. Okay, got it.
They just like her.
But do they like her if they start looking into some of the things you say? When she opens up, she gets opposition research on her.
When we look ahead, though, in this time of division, and you look back to your book, you know, war helped bring the country together in the end. It tore us apart, but the Reconstruction and America then healed itself. Do we need something? 9/11 is a time in which Americans came together again and unified. Mm-hmm. Do we need something like that again?
Well, I'll give you one thing that we don't necessarily need, doesn't need to be synthesized, you don't have to gin it up, is China. I don't know of a person who looks at our situation with any type of background and doesn't think that China is attacking us in every single way and building up a military to literally fight us. If that isn't a unifying area, not to just rally around the new battleship or the new hypersonic missile, but all economic, manufacturing. How could you not rally around bringing manufacturing back? How could you not rally around building up our defense? How could you rally around not going to make sure our influence is counter to everything that China is putting out there? We have a better story to tell.
You're going to go out again talking about your book, right?
Yeah. I'm definitely going to be going on stage talking about all my books, and it's going to be with Fox Nation December 2nd live in Newark, the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, on stage. So go to BrianKilmeade.com. Also, if you are in Brandon, Mississippi, we got a huge hotbed, great radio affiliate out there. They're helping us promote it. WJNT, and they are, we're going to be out there in Brandon, Mississippi, November 12th and the 13th in Tulsa, Oklahoma. KRMG listeners have been rallying around, filling up that theater. So just get the word out about the paperback and let people know this is the foundational story of America. We're not perfect, but what makes us great is that we try to be. And our imperfect past shows a country willing to work hard, be self-critical in order to move ourselves forward. The most successful multicultural country in the history of the world. Don't forget that.
You can watch him on Fox and Friends, also Saturday nights, One Nation. You can hear him on the Brian Kilmeade Radio Show, and you can read his book, Brian Kilmeade's book, The President and the Freedom Fighter, Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, and Their Battle to Save America's Soul. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Here's a look at the week ahead.
Monday.
The Supreme Court hears oral arguments on two affirmative action cases.
Tuesday.
1 week out from Election Day, and President Biden will head to South Florida to participate in a rally for the Democrat National Committee. Also on the election front, Fox News will host a town hall with Ohio Senate candidates, Democrat Congressman Tim Ryan, and Republican J.D. Vance.
Wednesday.
Keep an eye out for stock market swings following its two-day policy meeting. The Federal Reserve could raise interest rates.
Thursday.
President Biden heads to New Mexico for events with the governor and other state and local officials, while former President Donald Trump holds a rally in Iowa. And if you want to get in the holiday mood, Starbucks begins its holiday releases.
Friday.
It's the January 6th committee's deadline for Trump-related documents. And that's a look at the week ahead. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Rate and review the Fox News Rundown on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
It's time for your Fox News commentary.
Jimmy Failla.
What's on your mind?
Halloween is here, and I've always loved it because it's a day when anyone can be anything. Kids can pretend to be adults. Adults can pretend to be kids. Heck, even Joe Biden can pretend to be president. There's really no wrong way to do it. Although if you ask the internet, there are dozens of wrong ways for adults to do Halloween. For instance, several online retailers have banned Jeffrey Dahmer costumes, and not just because they cost you an arm and a leg. See what I did there? Now they've banned them for being tasteless, which I understand, but then again, it's all pretend. The whole point of Halloween is that this is supposed to be the one day of the year where you're not supposed to be taking anything serious. I'm not telling you to do something ridiculously idiotic like show up in blackface because you'll lose your job, unless you're a Democratic governor of Virginia and the Prime Minister of Canada, both of whom have some pretty tasteless costumes in their past. Honorable mention to Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon on that one as well. But as far as your kids go, all bets are off because the main thing you want your kid to be for Halloween is happy. So if your son wants to be Superman, get him some tights and a cape. And if your daughter wants to be Kamala Harris, get her a fake laugh and a low IQ. Point being, today is a day for kids to use their imaginations and escape the tortured reality most adults are living in when inflation is at a 40-year high, crime is through the roof, and Batman isn't coming to save us because he's not vaccinated. You can spend tomorrow fighting over offensive costumes everybody wore, but not me, because like all good parents, I'll be too busy looting my kids' candy bag. Happy Halloween. Be sure to listen to Fox Across America with me, Jimmy Failla, weekdays from noon to 3 on 125 stations, the Fox News app, and foxacrossamerica.com.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.